Good morning.
Good morning.
What a great day. Nice and cold. It seems like it very rarely is really cold on a Sunday. That's usually reserved for like a Tuesday or a Wednesday-ish, right? And when's the last time it was really cold on a Sunday in Orlando? Anyway, I like it. It's fun. So, well, let's pray and begin our worship. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that you have once again provided for us energy, health, wisdom. You've given us food and shelter and clothing, and we thank you. So we want to begin the whole thing by saying thank you for your grace and your mercy to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. But thanks for taking care of us, for hearing our prayers. Thank you. And Lord, we thank you for your salvation, and we praise you. We make and look to you as our God, that if anything can be good, it's going to be through you. And so we turn our eyes to you and we say, Lord, we love you, and help us and help our country and bless us today. And then, Lord, we give all of our requests to you. We pray that we trust you with the future. You can be there right now, and we trust that you'll take care of it when it comes. And we trust that you'll hear our prayers today. And so, Lord, hear us. Be with us as we engage in worship because your Holy Spirit has filled us. Thank you. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to begin the way we always begin now, in a position, in our position of repentance, the reality of the situation, in the prayer of confession on page D. I'll put on my, they call it a stole. You don't get to see a stole over jean jacket very often, so it's pretty cool. As I'll bring the word of God to you. Let's pray together the prayer of confession, saying, Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Then Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we settle into that reality, I wanted to read back and forth today Psalm 29. So if you can find Psalm 29 somewhere, if you're going to use the Bible provided, and your eyes can actually read it, it's 262. A Psalm of David. And as we read, try to, we'll just ask the Lord to engage our brains to catch some themes. See if you can catch the theme of waters and the voice of the Lord. Flood, king, those kinds of words. We'll try to catch those as we read them. But I think it'd be cool if we actually praise the Lord together. So that's why I'll have... We'll all read the odd verses together, then I'll read the even ones. So let us read together. We'll start with verse 1. You'll do the odd, I'll do the even. Psalm 29, verse 1. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth, and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood, and the Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Amen. Father, apply this to our hearts. We give thanks that you are the King of heaven. You're in charge of things we are not. Praise God. We get to be your creatures under your good and loving care. And we give thanks to you now. Hear our singing. And we pray that it would please you, that you would just smile as your kids sing their little hearts out. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to read three passages right now. They all work together. Remember Psalm 29, God's voice over the waters, over the flood, over the forests. So if we're talking about God speaking and being over things, where do you think we're going next? Page one of your Bible, Genesis 1, chapter 1 through 5. This will just anchor us in the Old Testament. So in 2021, maybe you'll notice this, but the rhythm of worship and the rhythm of knowing God, you start in the old. We use the Psalms and to praise him, to get the story. And then we read the New Testament and Jesus and about in the Gospels. And then we read an epistle to make sense of it. There's like a rhythm to our readings. So we start today in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, page 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. His word becomes a reality. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. It's the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 11. It's found on page 549. But Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. This section is going to be about our death in Christ. So key words, remember water, God's voice, and you start to see in Romans chapter 6 what this all means in recreating and baptism. So I'll clue your minds in there. Paul says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Yeah, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. It's the reading of God's word. It's amazing. That's amazing stuff. Take a lifetime to walk through it all. And you'll have it either here or in heaven, so don't worry about it. Mark chapter 4, or chapter 1. It should be chapter 1, verse 4. I wrote it wrong up there. Mark chapter 1, verse 4 through 11. What's going to connect this to what we've just read about creation, about death in Christ and life in Christ through baptism? Now it's going to all make sense. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Really, John? Yeah, John. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Interesting. Old Testament stuff. And all the country of Judea, all of it, and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locust and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, and with you I am well pleased." It's the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. Oh, thanks be to God. Let me pray. Lord, you know where each of us are at. We ask that your Holy Spirit would overwhelm the flesh right now. Give us ears to hear, hearts to believe, and then mouths to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. So here's what's interesting. We just got a lot of verses. They're all very good and worth remembering over the rest of your life. But John's baptism. John is considered the last Old Testament prophet. He's dressed like a prophet. He's out there like a prophet. And the thing about Old Testament prophets is they get a word from God and they say, "Hey, God says do this." Jesus is going to flip all that, because Jesus shows up and he doesn't say, "God says to do this." Jesus says, "I say." That's why everybody freaks out. "I say unto you." "Well, you're not just a prophet." "No, I am, and I say to you." John's still saying, "Do this." And now, why do you think the Bible says, the scriptures here are reported, that all the country of Judea and all of Jerusalem were flooding out to see a crazy guy at the Jordan baptize people for repentance, saying, "Come and confess your sins, and I will baptize you and give you forgiveness"? It's interesting, right? Why would everybody be flocking there? Like, it's busy. All of Judea, like, a lot of people are like, "I want to go confess my sins." Why do you think? It's interesting, right? Don't you think if he was giving away free food, people would flock there? Playing a game to watch? Something other than, like, can you get a big crowd if you say, "Come and repent of your sins, and I'll pour water on you for forgiveness"? Especially to Jewish folks. He's saying it to Jewish folks whose understanding of baptism was when you weren't already Jewish. You were coming into Judaism. Gentiles would be washed and cleansed and go through this. And what John is saying is, like, even if you are of Abraham and you're in the line and you think you're good, you need to be washed just like the Gentile dogs. And yet people are still coming out to see what's going on and then do it. Isn't that interesting? Would you? I don't know. But what I pick up here is that the people of God are always pretty comfortable with repentance. We're pretty comfortable with, like, "That dude needs to say sorry. Man, she needs to repent. He needs to repent. Oh, I know I'm bad." You know, we're usually not too bad about saying, "I'm bad. I know I'm bad." Because when you say you're bad, there's this idea then that you have to do something to make it right. So people go out, "I know this prophet says God's coming. I know I'm bad. That's cool. I go out there. I don't want to be bad anymore. I want God to love me. What do I have to do?" So they're all pretty excited about it. But then Jesus shows up, and we know from other reports, he comes to be baptized. And Mark is very quick. Mark's just giving you the highlights. Like, let's get through this. In Matthew, it breaks down a conversation where when Jesus shows up, he says, "John, I want you to baptize me." Now remember, John's saying, "I'm just doing it with water. There's a guy who's coming after me. He's going to do it with the Holy Spirit." Well, that guy shows up. John knows it, because he says, "Man, that's, behold, the Lamb of God. He's here. The Lamb of God then says, you're going to baptize me. And what does John say? No, 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 you can't do it like that. I love this response. John the Baptist has rules to baptism that he's putting on Jesus Christ. No, no, you can't do this. It's what we all love to do. We get something beautiful from God and then we put rules around it and say, no, you can't. Well, I don't. We got to be good. And what's Jesus going to do? What's Jesus going to do when John says, you can't be baptized? Because the truth is, why would Jesus be baptized? We already know he's full of the Spirit since he's a young child. We know he's the Son of God. We know he's sinless. What does he need to repent for? Why would Jesus get baptized? Isn't that a good question, though? And today, I hope, I'm praying that this answer gets embedded in your minds, why Jesus was baptized. Because we've kind of grown up learning like baptism from one angle. It's like what we do. But why would Jesus get baptized? Because Jesus isn't just going to be a good example for you. Because being a good example won't help you. It doesn't save you. Because you and I don't do anything that Jesus does. So if he just got baptized to be an example, we're in trouble. Because that's one of many examples that we won't fulfill. And remember, Jesus is the grace giver. Moses is the lawgiver. So why is Jesus getting baptized? For you. Oh, yeah, Byron.
I was going to say, is it part of the fact that, you know, he's God, but he's man? So if he shares in the baptism, like we're sharing the baptism, that's the connection of why we all participate.
Yeah. There is an example aspect, but there's a sharing that Jesus says, here's why I'm going to get baptized, to fulfill all righteousness. That's his actual answer. I'm going to fulfill something that you're unable to fulfill. He says, I'm going to go into the baptism, the sin, the death that you deserve for you. I'm going to be baptized into your sin. He says, I'm doing something here. John, trust me. I just think it's interesting, over all my years, and this includes myself, so if it feels like I'm talking about you, just know it's me too. We feel comfortable, we being Christians, feel pretty comfortable with like what we just did with the confession and absolution. We feel comfortable with the confession part of it. A friend of mine had a friend, took him to church, they did that. And the people who don't really believe in God, that thing we read, where it says, I haven't loved God with my whole heart. I haven't loved my neighbor as myself. I justly deserve God's wrath and punishment for the sake of your son. Forget, like we kind of say that, but really that's offensive to people who don't believe in God. That's the part they're shocked about. They're like, what are we saying here? I don't know if it shocked your heart because you kind of already know like, okay, I have sin nature. And so I know, but it is very shocking. It's saying, I haven't done very good. And that's a hard place to say that. It takes a lot of courage and faith, but we can do it. So the un-Christian mind, the people who don't really know about God, they have a problem with that. But you know what we have a problem with? The absolution. It's funny. I had a problem for a long time. I was nervous about it. I first started working it out several years ago, being able to say, God forgives you. I forgive you in the name of Jesus. I was nervous about that, and I used the Lord's Supper to try it out on certain ones of you that I knew would give me grace. Because I was so scared about it. You know why I was scared? Because I grew up thinking, you can't just say someone's forgiven. What if they're not? What if you give them forgiveness and they go on sinning? Then you're giving them false hope. You're saying all these bad things. I can't do that. And this is where the baptism of Jesus is so important. Jesus is saying, look, I'm the grace giver. Forgiveness is our currency. You don't need to be stingy with it. I'll be God. I'll figure out forgiveness so that you get familiar with being really generous with saying you are forgiven in the name of Christ. But here's why it works. It doesn't work if it's just going to be on my behavior or your behavior. You're right. As soon as this is John's baptism, as soon as you said, forgive me, I stole from somebody. Oh, you're forgiven. I go out and I sin again. I'm not forgiven now. It's a constant working. But Jesus transforms John's baptism right here. He first and foremost says, I'm going to be baptized because what I'm going to baptize into is not the same thing you all are. I'm baptized into your sin. I'm going under the waters, the flood that destroys the whole world. Jesus Christ will willingly go under and he'll raise up for you. So I was somewhere and I heard this girl talking to her dad about getting a car. I was in this like line 6 feet apart. She's like, she had a great, totally worked out. She's 18. Why she should get a new car. It just makes so much more sense. You could tell she thought about it. And then she ends with, you know, we can just get a lease or something. And then her dad's like, oh, really? Like, how is that going to work? Well, you just co-sign for it. He's like, well, if I co-sign, I'm saying, like, are you going to be working at college? She's like, well, no, I mean, it's just a monthly payment. He's like, right. You don't have monthly money. And it was pretty funny. And they were working out. And she even said, in her defense, she's like, well, I could get a Nissan or something. Like, it was so reasonable. And she was trying to work it out. And then it reminded me of with Haley. She's not here, so I can talk about her. When she last year, was moving into an apartment with a bunch of people. And she says, hey, can you co-sign this rent thing, you know, in case we don't pay or whatever? And Val and I were like, no, I don't do that. I don't co-sign for a couple of reasons. I don't know if I trust you. What? Well, she's like, what am I going to do? Well, I'm sure there's something you can do. One thing I know you can do is probably pay it all up front. Check that out. She's like, yeah, I could pay like 4 months rent up front. But that's dumb. If it's all you can do, it's not dumb. It's all you can do. Because I'm not signing up to cover whatever your friends do to a place. I'm not doing that. You know why? And you can say I'm mean or whatever, and I'm teaching you all a lesson. Pay up front. Don't put it on someone else. You know why you don't put it on me? Because I'm not Jesus. I'm not even pretending to promise I'm going to cover that. And if something goes wrong, I'm a person you know that's like, man, that's tough. But what Jesus does here at baptism, I want you to remember this, is it's more his baptism is the foundation for all baptism, for our baptism. He transforms it because he is immersed into your sin. He says, I will not only co-sign for you, as if you're going to try and do good and I'll cover the rest. No. That's not Christianity. That's something else. He says, move. I'll pay the whole thing. I'll pay it all. You don't have to pay a cent. I want you to be free. I'm going to unloose you. I forgive you and I give you my righteousness. So he dies. Baptism is the beginning of his march to the cross. And it's a huge deal. And you know it's a huge deal because whenever something big goes down, God gets involved. God shows himself. He speaks. So as Jesus says, I'm going to cover the sin of the world by my submission to God, but also my love for you. He doesn't show up and say, John, stop it. John, stop saying repent. We know God loves everybody. He's tolerating sin and he's just accepting everybody. Jesus actually stands there and says, no, you know what? John, you're right. People do need to repent. God doesn't accept you as you are and say, we'll just see how it works out. He does not tolerate your sin. Like, it's okay. So that's why Jesus says, he doesn't stop John, you know? He embraces it and says, you're right. This is 100% true. God is mad. You're corrupting his beautiful image over and over and over again. So Jesus is like, I'll show you true love. I will be baptized into your death. Because God doesn't accept you in your sin, and he doesn't accept you and wait for... What will Jesus do? He says, here's what I'm going to do about that. I'm going to get in the water. I'm going to get in the water for you. So that's the first part. Paul even says that. Whenever you see the word baptism, you are baptized into his death. Your baptism is your death. It represents death to the old man that's going to die Death to all the sin that you've done, you are doing, you will do. Death, washing, flood. And just like the flood, what comes at the end of the flood? Remember what Noah sends out?
A dove.
A dove. The sky is ripped. And by the way, whenever the Bible talks about the king coming back, it's always the sky will be ripped. The trumpets, you know, I think about like how Jesus is coming back by the sky. Think about the Old Testament, the sky. So at Jesus' baptism, he dies, he raises again in baptism before he's done anything really. And the sky opens because this is the king. This is my word made flesh. Then the dove descends, says it's safe to come out of the ark. The new creation is here. I'm restoring spirit to man because he's been made clean. He's died and he's raised again. And I'm giving you his spirit. And then I'm giving you his king, Jesus, the Son of God. And God himself says, this is my son. I'm well pleased. So something happens at Jesus' baptism. Do you think something's going to happen at our baptism? Say yes, and you can figure it out the rest of your life. Yeah. Say yes right now. Something happened at your baptism. Something happened at my baptism. Something that will happen at all baptisms. God is doing something. We say, no, you can't do anything. It probably doesn't matter. We should do it again. And Jesus says, no. I fulfill all righteousness. I commandeer water with the word, and I make it something different. I recreate. And so when we're baptized, we aren't baptized into sin. We are baptized into Christ's righteousness. So for Jesus, he comes into our sin, defeats it. We're baptized into all his works, into his relationship with God, into his ability to receive the Holy Spirit. That's what's happening at baptism. You're being marked by God. God is saying, you're my child with whom I'm well pleased now. Because this, you have been baptized into Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You've been baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is all yours. You are forgiven. Now you're free to live. So let's live. It's interesting. Have you ever heard, you know, nothing's official till the ink dries? Right? So think about that. How does your reality change based on a contract? Someone in authority over a contract, the papers are signed, or the judge makes a declaration, right? Those are big moments. There's a marriage ceremony, there's paperwork, there's an adoption, there's paperwork, there's, oh, you do a degree? You could just read books at a library and be like, I'm good, but yet we'll pay for that degree because there's an official stamping of approval that now you are a master's of this, or you have a degree in this field. And it changes your reality, right? You know, think about our whole life. You get a license. You can drive, Lowry. Why don't you just drive? Well, because if I meet a police officer, I don't have a license. Well, it's just a piece of paper. Who cares? Who cares? The piece of paper doesn't mean anything. Yeah, it does. It actually does. Pieces of paper mean a lot in your life. Just start talking about taxes. All of a sudden, pieces of paper mean everything. Start talking about marriage and divorce. You're not divorced until those papers. You're not married until. But we loved each other before. We love each other after. Or adoption. We already love the child. Why do we have to go to court and do it? Because you want all of the inheritance and the name on that. You need someone in authority to go, it's done in the state, in the law, in the world, and now your reality will be different because of it. We have no problem believing that in our world. Yet when I say Jesus did something at your baptism, you're like, well, if I believed it, maybe. Or maybe, I don't know, I was young. I did it after summer camp, and there's a bunch of cute girls that went forward, and so I just did it. Maybe I should do it. With baptism, we question it. Yet, if you got married after summer camp, you'd be like, biggest mistake of my life. It was real. I got married after summer camp. Everyone was getting married, and I did it. No, what a mess. Because there's authority, right? I mean, think about it. And so what I'm trying to tell you is that Christ works through several things. God works through things that are fleshly. And one of those things is through, right, like right now, the preaching of God's word. He says, I will work through people talking about my word as you gather around it. I'll change hearts. I'll bring people back to life. It's amazing. But he says, I'll use the word. He says, I'll use water at the very beginning, like citizenship, to mark you. This is my grace being poured out. I'll use bread and wine as a means of grace. And what's the point of all these things? Is to say to you in a world that is unforgiving and harsh, to say to you in a world that's dying, to say to you in a world that's always demanding more and more and more, he gives us these physical things to say, you are forgiven. And at baptism, you're forgiven. You're my child. We're going to grow up in this thing together. I've restored the Spirit to you. At the Lord's Supper, I'm going to give you forgiveness. In the Word, you get to be generous with saying you're forgiven in the name of Christ. But what if I'm scared about the things I've done? I'm not worthy. Oh, then the gospel is for you. The more scared you are and the more unworthy and the more you want the gospel, the more good news it is. Come. But we're the people who say forgiveness through the means that Jesus has set up. You know, Jesus said, he doesn't give us commands like you better do this because he's not a lawgiver. But he said, hey, if you want to access this forgiveness and grow in it and be fed by it, it's going to be in preaching my word. He says, go and tell all nations, making disciples, baptizing them into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Why that? So that they can know they had an official day before the judge where he said, you're adopted, you're my son. I know you made decisions or you didn't make decisions. You grew up. It's the same as the covenant with Abraham. They were all circumcised. So cool. I just read it. Did you know Abraham was circumcised and he's 99? Ishmael was 13. Probably worse. And then Isaac was born. He was circumcised age 8. Day 8. So there's another physical thing that God says, this is a mark of my promise. And the ages are all over the board. 99. 13, 8 days. So does it matter on the person who's receiving circumcision for the promise of God to use it? No. It's where God puts his promise. You can be old, can't make your own decisions, too young, or you can be 13, which is even worse. And God's promises are on us, to us, because Christ says, I will do the work for you. You get my position. How do we access it? By faith. We trust. We believe this is true. So when I say your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ, don't say, oh, Adam, you don't know. You believe it by faith. Like, God, I believe you send people. That is in your word. And you receive it. So the whole point of this, I want you to know, is that baptism is one of those places that is a means of grace. And you can go back to it. I encourage you to go back to it daily. Remember your baptism. When I say remember your baptism, I don't mean you have to remember the guy who did it, or where you were, or you might not remember it at all. I did it when I was like 14. I barely remember it. The babies baptized, adults baptized. Maybe you really remember it. What I mean is remember what happened that day. So every day, say, Lord, I've been baptized into your righteousness. That means you've defeated the world, the flesh, and the devil. You've made me a citizen. I've gone through citizenship. That matters. So, Lord, you've defeated the world and all its pressure to perform. You took on all my sin and died. You raised me up and you gave me a spirit which can fight all my fleshly idolatrous. As humans, we always want to look to other people to save us or other things. But now we can go straight to God. And then you've given me Jesus Christ, the victor, all the victory that I can live in this relationship of love forever and ever. So you remember your baptism is the same thing we do when we remember the Lord's Supper. We're just remembering that we were born again. We were made new and brought into this by the work of Christ. So remember that every day. Be generous with saying, don't be embarrassed. If I say you're forgiven, it's the biggest critique we have as Christians. I don't know if you can say that. I know that guy. Yeah, we're the grace givers. Christ paid for all of the sins of the world, yes or no? And he's equipped us to say, in Christ's name, you're forgiven. He's equipped us to say, repent, because that needs to happen. Turn to him and be baptized. Start over. The world is recreated by the work of Christ for you. And now you are forgiven. Do you believe it? Really? I was just thinking too, like if you join the army, that's an official moment. Because now all of a sudden you can do things you never could do before. Shoot guns at people and get a medal for it. Couldn't do that before. Changes your life. We have a couple guys who've done that. Same with baptism, man. You became a member of a new kingdom and you have new weapons. Forgiveness being the main one. Love, humility, patience, kindness. Oh, it's so good. Grow into that. Our lives have just begun, and he will come again. So, I'm hoping that the idea of baptism starts to shift for you and be a source of mercy and grace, and not something that we do it like this, they do it like that. And it's not a division, man. It's a place where God works his forgiveness of sins. Thanks be to God. Father, there's so much more I want to say, but that's just me wanting to get in the way of your work. Forgive me. Thank you for being gracious. Thank you for washing us. Thank you for resurrecting that we don't just get your righteousness, but we get that relationship you have with God the Father Almighty. We praise you. Continue to have mercy and walk with us as new citizens, as people who have been cleansed. We've done some pretty bad things, but you're pretty powerful. And so continue to anchor us in that, in your means of grace. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I'm getting hot. So let's confess. The idea has been you hear with your ears, you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. You know, Paul says, this saves you. And when we talk about salvation, know that salvation is an ongoing process. It's not like you're saved once and then God's done with you and now you're on your own. It means you're saved to live with God daily. It's nice. The Greek is always, you're being saved. Being saved. So that's why there's so much grace in it and all that. And so we are being saved. That means we're hearing, we're believing, and now we're confessing with our mouths. So like I remember hearing God is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding steadfast love. Then I started to believe it. And now I'm going, God, you are gracious and merciful and abounding in steadfast love. You see how it switches? That's what you guys have all become. So that's why we say these creeds. We start to believe what we're saying, and now we're like declaring it. Like, I believe in God. I believe in the creative God and the redeeming Jesus Christ God and in the Holy Spirit, sanctifying God. So let's say together, if you believe it. The Nicene Creed, because it says one baptism for the remission of sins. Christ's baptism saves you. Christ's baptism saves you. We believe in it. And then he transforms and sets up baptism for us into him. And I want you to know the universal church, this is the day of Christ's baptism, because on Wednesday it was Epiphany, where all the world heard about Christ. And this is the last day of Christmas, where Jesus now gets baptized and immediately goes in the wilderness to be tempted and battle Satan, because his work has officially begun at baptism. That's why Jesus says, I'm well pleased. He hadn't done anything yet, but he's pleased because it's done. He's submitted to the plan and he's going to go through with it because he's Jesus. So let's confess. Sorry, I just want to keep talking. But it's good stuff, right, Troy? What is it you believe, Christian? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Amen. So this is our time of giving our giving to the Lord and his work. It's also our time of giving our prayers. So when you come to rest in these things, you just want to say, thanks, Lord. And then trust all your requests with him, because this is what we do. We have to trust. Like, I'm still a sinner. I've been baptized. I still sin. Doesn't mean I'm not. Christ did the work there. You come to me repenting and believing that I actually can forgive you. So we get to pray to him. And maybe we have to ask him for things to correct places where we messed up this week. And say, Lord, will you fix it? Or it's just we're scared about what's going on. But this is our chance to say, Lord, would you be involved? Would your word become reality in our life? So if there's any prayer request, I know the biggest prayer request is, it's always shocking, but it shouldn't be. The world without Jesus is crazy, right? That sounds easy to say, but then we're always shocked when they go crazy. In big ways, they're always going crazy. The world without Jesus is crazy, and that's all we're seeing. And what God's allowing, he allows it because the option is to wipe out the whole earth with a flood. So just know that. God, why are you allowing it? And he says to you, because I don't want to kill everybody. So I sent my son, I killed him. And if you can trust in him, know that you're safe. But what about all this bad stuff? He's like, I know. That's why I sent my son. I found a good way to do something about it without killing y'all. So every time you see craziness, turn to Jesus and say, thank God he sent his son to die, because otherwise we would all die, kill each other, or ruin everything somehow, or grab power. That's the options. So see how I just made sense of that? It makes kind of sense after reading the Bible for an hour. So we pray for that. We pray for the world because we love God's creation. And I pray that he would lead the world to repentance and faith. Just imagine if everybody could say, oh, I haven't loved my neighbor as myself, forgive me. What would happen to the world? Amazing, right? Well, that's our prayer. So all your if there's any anxiety about the future, know Jesus is there. He's our king. His plans have not changed. Everything's been a great year in the kingdom of God. Out there, it's always a nightmare. That's why we need Jesus. And that drives us to say, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. And sing our songs. Rob, well, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are our Father, and we come in Jesus' name because we are in him. And just as children locked in an eternal love, we get to come to you and say, Dad, would you help our country? Would you have mercy on our government and our mercy on the governing bodies, Lord, that we pray always for good government. We pray always for fairness and justice and order, because you're the God of order and you love people. So would you have mercy on us, Lord? And ultimately, we pray that you would lead our country and its people to repent and have faith and start in us, start in our neighborhoods, but have mercy, Lord, and protect us and bless us through whatever transpires, and protect our worship and our church. Then, Lord, we praise you for Tom, that you have been turning, that you've heard the prayers of your saints. I know it's not just us, it's other saints who have prayed, and we pray for continued health for Tom, that you continue to bring him back on the road to recovery and encourage his wife, Lord. Bless them as they walk through it. And then we pray for Deanne and all her family with the loss of her uncle, Lanny. Lord, bless his wife and the family. It's grief is it's almost unbearable at times. So we pray that your Holy Spirit would restore peace and at least the hope that they will see each other again, or the hope, some hope, Lord. We don't know what to say. We're not equipped to talk to people or deal with death. You didn't make us that way. It's a product of the fall. And so help us and help them through this time. And Lord, we pray for Terry and his heart surgery. We know you're the God of creation, that you heal. And we know that you hold hearts in your hand. Physical hearts and spiritual hearts, you recreate by your word. And so we pray your word over Terry, that you would fix and bless and use the doctors to restore the heart to perfect condition. And Lord, we thank you. We give praise to you for the servos. We thank you for your generosity to them over the years and their generosity and blessing to us. We love their family. We love Cal, and we can't wait for another brother or sister for Cal. And so continue to grow and nurture this baby inside of Walker and bless them throughout the whole process, Lord. May it be just perfect without complication. And while we're here, we pray for Thomas and Lauren and the baby that's growing inside of her. Bless them with health and safety and no complications leading up to a beautiful celebration and delivery. But bless them, Father. And then, Lord, we thank you for our children growing up, Libby and Grace. They both are becoming the kind of people who look to you for every good thing, and it makes me so happy. I'm thrilled to pray with and for Libby as she serves her school and her community through being the stage manager. Would you bless this production of Annie? Keep sickness totally away. We know it's like a miracle quest, but you can do it, Lord. So would you keep all the actors and all the people and everybody involved safe so that they can do Annie Jr. and it would be a huge success, and you'd bless Libby. And we thank you for all the work that's being put in there and training in these children to love one another and serve one another. Bless her. We thank you for Libby. We thank you for Grace and what you're teaching her and showing her through loving a pet. And so with that comes concern and prayer requests. And Lord, we pray, would you bless Mr. Daisy? Would you heal his feathers, allow a molt or something to come quickly so that he could remember to learn how to fly and be safe? But we thank you for these things you've given to our kids. In fact, we're just your kids, Lord, and asking for your mercy and your grace upon us. And for some of us here, Lord, those of us who can't sleep at night, would you give us rest? Those of us who can't rest in the forgiveness, give us rest in the forgiveness. Those of us who can't forgive, we've been deeply wounded. Lord, would you help us to not demand payback from those people, but instead receive your replacement of what was stolen and forgiveness. But we need your help, Lord. Give us peace. Give us your fruit that only you provide. And bless us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Then we pray the Lord's Prayer. Another way for us to say, praise Jesus. It's nice when we know what to say. But this is the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. He goes, here's an easy way to pray. Saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So Jesus sets up another means of grace. It's like a commandment, but it's not, it's a source of grace. It's not like do this or else. He's like, hey, you want to be forgiven? You want to be part of the body of Christ? You want to remember who you are? Remember your baptism and come hear the word of God preached and eat of my body and drink of my blood. So every week, we never tire of it. Because it's an authoritative statement of like, your sins are forgiven. Let that be a part of you. You are in Christ. He is in you through your mouth. through smelling it, through touching it. It's so cool, man. Jesus knows us so well. He's like, I want to give you stuff you can touch. He's always done it. He spoke to Moses through a bush on fire. He does stuff like that. He got in a box. He does stuff like that. Gets on a cross. And so we remember the night that he's betrayed. He walked through everything that he could walk through as a human. He's betrayed. His friends are all freaked out. He's going to be killed because he's forgiven people and healed them. It's about right in a world of craziness. And he says, we're going to celebrate the Passover. And he says, I now am the Lamb of God. I'm the Lamb of God, broken for you. This, he says, is my body now, being broken and given for you. He says, take and eat of it. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he takes the cup. He says, this is my blood. I'm going to die for you. It's a New Testament in my blood for forgiveness. This is why we announce forgiveness, because Jesus is like, drink this. You are forgiven. How do such great things happen? By his word, to people, to things. We receive it by faith, and it's true. We found it to be true. His word becomes reality. He's creating. He's always recreating. So this is a recreative moment, a means of grace, and that's why we can't get enough of it. So we prepare our hearts. Lord, bless this meal. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we know it's just a foretaste of the great meal we're going to eat, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you say, blessed is everyone who's invited to that meal. And we know this is not only our invitation, this is the beginning of that meal. And we rejoice and we receive it. Holy Spirit, apply this to our hearts and minds as we come to receive the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, in his death and his resurrection for us. All glory and all praise to you and all comfort to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, receive God's blessing. Today is, every Sunday is a passive experience where you receive the righteousness of Christ, and so we end it that way too. Be blessed. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord look upon you and give you his grace. May he smile on you and give you peace as his children now and forever in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.